What up, what up? Welcome to the Cast of Color, a show where diverse creatives discuss all things film, TV, and entertainment. My name is John Carter. I am joined by my boy, Gerardo Molina. What's happening, my brother?
Howdy.
Hey, we in the building, baby. It's a beautiful December day. I think this is officially the last recording of 2023.
So possibly,
possibly. But we're going to be reviewing Rebel Moon, Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon.
And we're also going to be talking about some of the best and some of the worst movies of the year for a year. I think it's relatively a slow year for cinema.
It felt like that. It felt like a fast, like a lot going on in the summertime. And I swear, as soon as September came around, it was just a dead halt.
Even the more Oscar-baity movies weren't that. No, a lot of indie, which is cool, but.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say as far as like movie theater, movie going experience, it's been a little slow this year, possibly. But before we get into it, check for the timestamps in the description and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and X or Twitter at Cast of Color to be caught up on all our stuff. We do fun stuff like polls and everything on our Instagram. So be sure to follow us on that stuff. Now, if you want to get started into the news here, we got a doozy to start it off with the Jonathan Majors thing happened. He's been found guilty on a couple different counts and everything. It just doesn't look good. Marvel dropped him. His PR company dropped him. He's in a bad place.
Misdemeanor charges, I believe.
He could possibly face jail time. It's not likely though. There's a lot of he's basically done with Marvel. Everyone's talking about what's going to happen there. It's not even called King Dynasty anymore. It's going to be called Avengers. It's just Avengers 5 right now. We'll see. I'm sure they're panicking at Marvel. Do you mind King not being the main villain? Are you kind of over it? Do you think it wrapped up nicely? We've seen him like four times already.
That's what I'm saying. We've seen a few different. It feels like a few different iterations of Kang in such a short time
and he never felt too compelling, right?
Yeah, I was like, am I really hyped for him to be that guy in the next Avengers movie?
Like a Thanos level.
Bro, I was even more hyped for Ultron, and he was a one-off.
Yeah, and I love Ultron. Oh man, he was really good though, honestly.
Yeah, he was really dope. But for this, for Kang the Conqueror, I think the way, even in Loki season 2, the way they kind of just wrapped up the whole Kang storyline was smooth, and I'm happy about it. I want to see someone else. I even
Doctor Doom. They're saying,
Come on, why don't we? Seen that before.
I mean, that'd be fine for Earth stuff, and then
Earth level villain.
Give us like Galactus, for the big one. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Classic villain. Those are classic Marvel villains right there.
Saying? Yeah, exactly. They're both Fantastic Four too, which we know that they can do now.
Household names. They're two more household names than Kang the Conqueror.
Exactly. Now in some more Marvel news, there's this company called Insomniac Games, and they make the Spider-Man games, right?
Oh, yeah.
And their company got hacked, and it was awful because there's like employee data leaked and everything. Then they leaked the whole plot to Wolverine and everything. This Wolverine game coming out in 2026, they leaked the whole plot to it. There's all this stuff. Yeah, so it's really messed up, these hackers, right? And they hacked them, and now we know all of these future Marvel games coming out, skip ahead if you want to hear them, but so in 2025 we're getting a Venom game, like a Venom spinoff from Spider-Man series.
That's cool. Insomniac behind it, that's gonna be dope.
Shit. yeah right. Spider-Man 2 just came out. Then we're gonna get Wolverine in 2026, Spider-Man 3 By the way, Wolverine right now, people are pirating it and actually playing it online. They're playing like a like an alpha build. Yeah, because the whole thing got hacked. So,
oh my god.
People are, there's like
those game makers, those game developers are probably just devastated.
They're like, yeah, and also, I mean, also their personal data got leaked, like their like addresses and their names and everything. And it's really, really, really bad. But, you know, basically, I think like a Ratchet and Clank game. It's the same company that makes Ratchet and Clank that's coming out in 2029, but they're also making an X-Men game.
Ooh.
As well as a Spider-Man 3, which we, but
this is a dope lineup.
Basically, up until 2028, we got all these Marvel games coming out on the PS5 exclusive. Right? This is crazy.
This makes it official. I'm hopping on the PS5.
Yeah, because also GTA 6 is coming out. You're gonna have to, you know, get that on PlayStation 5. They're gonna release only on the current gen consoles. So it's easier to get the PS5s now. At least the Slim just came out. Remember the PS2 Slims and everything back in the day? Now,
absolutely, yeah. It was always the bulky one in first, and then they come out with the Slim version.
Exactly. Yeah, the PS5 Slim.
We're there already. We're already at that stage of PS5s where they're not crazy expensive anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because so during Christmas time, one of my cousins, he's like 20, he collects like old consoles, right? So he was playing a PS2 and he was like, oh wow, these graphics are crazy because like they're like retro now, you know? And he was like, oh, this doesn't affect you at all, right? Because it's just like what you grew up with. And I was like, oh my God. Because, you know, it's just those graphics from PS2 era. And we were like, wow, this looks like you could see the character. It's not, you know, it's like it looks so real. Absolutely. You know?
PS2 was one of the first eras where the characters really looked.
Yeah. And that's why the shit now, I'm like, wow, this is crazy how far we've gotten, right? But to the kids, like I said, he's only 20 and he's like, wow, this is like retro. It's so cool to see all the polygons on the screen. Just seeing
I used to be collecting all these old consoles. Talk about taking a trip through time, right? I mean, from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has a PS2. He found Soul Calibur in there, I think. PS2.
Oh, there was, bro, that was such a popular game.
He literally said, he was like, what's Soul Calibur? And I was like, because, you know, he works like at a place where they donate shit. It's called Savers or some shit. It's like found Salvation Army type shit. So, you know, he gets all these old used consoles and shit. And he just found the disc inside this PS2 Slim. He's like, what's Soul Calibur? I was like, oh my God, dude. Made me feel like a fucking dinosaur, you know?
Oh my God. What was it? Like an axe or a sword that you have? And
that was that fighting game with the fucking all the funny guest characters. But, you know, like that's just it's crazy though that hackers, you know, like there was a hacker that leaked a bunch of GTA 6 stuff. He just got sentenced to life in a mental asylum. So it's like this, damn, like 18-year-old kid, I think he's like European or something, and he hacked the Rockstar servers, people that make GTA, and that's why GTA 6, a lot of that stuff got leaked a few months ago. And this guy, they caught him, and he got committed to life in like a mental institution because he's addicted to hacking. Like they caught him and he literally was able to hack into like people's like servers, like just using like an Amazon Fire Stick on a TV. Like it's crazy. Like he's like,
I'm gonna hack into these handcuffs.
Yeah, no, he's a high level hacker like that, I guess. Like, you know, because like they're literally committing him to life in a mental asylum, not even prison, because he literally said like, I'm just gonna keep hacking, like I'm not gonna stop.
If you send me to prison, I will not stop hacking.
Yeah, exactly. So
hacking will go on.
Yeah, it's just really weird to see, right? Like I think another gaming company that got hacked last week, Ubisoft. They make Assassin's Creed. So I don't know what's going on right now, but because what these hackers basically do is they hold the stuff for ransom. You know, they say, oh, we're gonna leak all this stuff if you don't give us like $2 million. That's what they asked of
in Bitcoin.
No, literally in Bitcoin. Yeah, That's what they asked for from Insomniac, the, that company, and then they didn't comply with it, and then that's
fuck
why.
Like, fuck you, bro. I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, 2 minutes, like you're not gonna just leak it anyways. So yeah, kind of scary to see the rise in hacks. So keep your shit safe, everyone.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, to see how.
Don't click any weird links.
Yeah,
especially if you work for a big company.
straight up.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. Is people find it getting into passwords and everything, and then all this shit.
One of these companies invest into some kind of anti-hacking.
Well, that's why, right? I'm like, is there are they not investing as much as like all these other companies, like Amazon or Apple or whatever? We don't see Apple's shit get leaked. You know what I mean?
Hell no.
And if it does, you probably get executed, you know, like Tim Apple takes you to the back and shoots you in the head with an Apple gun. You're going to release the Apple gun in like 15 years, you know.
Apple bullets.
Exactly. You can track them on your phone, the Apple bullets. But
every
day closer to dystopia, because now another conglomerate wants to join with another conglomerate. We got more news on Warner Brothers Discovery wanting to merge with Paramount.
What? So my old company Viacom, now known as Paramount, is trying to merge with newly merged company
Warner Brothers Discovery. Yeah. Because that sounds crazy. Because then, I mean, Paramount, that's like, I mean, the rights to Transformers, Ninja Turtles, Nickelodeon stuff.
Exactly. Nickelodeon, that's VH1, it's MTV.
Oh, you know, because you used to work there.
Yeah, man, that was my spot. And, you know, I mean, it was crazy because at the time, Warner Brothers was direct competition, Discovery was competition, and they merged, and
they're in talks to merge with Paramount. So that's pretty crazy, right? Oh, that's even crazier now that I know about the corporate policy, the corporate beef that I didn't know about before. So
do tell.
I mean, that's from you. I just learned about this corporate beef right now. You just told me about.
Oh yeah.
But
no, I'm telling you, it's just, I don't know. I think so many properties being under one roof. I don't know. I kind of liked it when everything.
It's okay to have a competitive market. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know why? Because you tell kind of different stories, and just the feel of it. Like Paramount has its own culture to it.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. It's just, it's so different than what Warner Brothers is, and I only say that because I worked for 3 months at Warner Brothers at the studio doing tours and shit. And then I worked at Paramount at the time, Viacom. And culturally, they both feel very different. So it's going to be interesting to see how they were to come under. So this is not official, right? They're just talking.
Yeah, it'll probably happen, though. Yeah, because Microsoft just got Activision. They make Call of Duty. Yeah. Which is
were they the wrestling games back in the day? I remember Activision.
Yeah, Activision did a lot. So the big one is Call of Duty, right? That's what PlayStation wanted to go to court over and everything, because you know Call of Duty is like one of the biggest fucking things. But Xbox basically, so it's crazy. Just all these companies just buying all these other big companies. Less streaming services, at least, right?
Right, because Max is absolutely getting canceled after this year, and you know what, Gerardo, I think they kind of understand that sentiment amongst many consumers. A lot of people are gonna throw away that HBO Max membership. It's not enough shit. But that's why you've been seeing all the Warner Brothers shit on Netflix.
They sold all their Zaslav said they make more money selling the rights to stream on stuff. That's why they put all the DC stuff on there.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And I can't blame that. But Disney doesn't have to do that. They're like, fuck that. We're going to keep our
Disney's
shit.
Losing a lot of money on Disney Plus. You know, like streaming services lose money, I think, for a few years before they start making
before
any.
Before you make a profit. Yeah, it's going to take a long time. But
Amazon, is my next bit of news here, was that Amazon is actually going to start. You have to upgrade your membership by a few bucks because now they're going to, if you have Amazon Prime, they're still going to have ads. So we're circling back to cable, where if you wanted to stream on Amazon Prime, starting next month in January, the middle of January, you're going to have to pay extra money to do it without ads.
Okay. Let me just say this. Amazon Prime, besides the very few, you know, the few things that I really love that are Amazon originals, The Boys, Invincible, I go there mostly to actually buy movies if I don't have the time to go.
Or rent them, right? Yeah.
Rent them. I am not over here tapping into Prime because, oh man, there's this shit on Prime. It's exclusive and I got to. No, it's Invincible. It's The Boys, Gen V, and there aren't many Amazon originals. So the fact that they're doing this, I get it. Maybe they're just, it's all about the money. But
well, the thing is, they're already making, I mean, Amazon Prime video is included with an Amazon Prime membership.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of scummy, I think, to charge the extra.
Yeah. You fuckers make so much money off people.
Exactly. They're not losing. Like, we know this is like the richest guy in the world owns this fucking company.
And Bezos, Jeff Bezos, he said he has had conflictions about what to do with his fortune, you know, what to do with his wealth, because he wants to help people, but he wants to do it the right way. It's like, I don't fucking charge the people us, regular people, some bullshit like this for ads. Come on, bro. It's dope having that Prime membership with the movies and the all that shit. It's cool.
But, you know, it's money. It's all about money. Mm-hmm. So, with our last bit of news here, RIP to the DCEU, the DC Extended Universe. Aquaman just came out, and it flopped at the box office, as of course, right? And yeah, you know, it's just we'll review Aquaman. Don't worry, but
I'll have to. I gotta go watch it. I will definitely go watch it. But
Iron Claw first.
Are you surprised by Aquaman? Was it the Lost Kingdom by it flopping?
I'm not surprised, but you know, the first movie made $1 billion, which was crazy. I think it got really lucky. I don't know how they got so lucky. Like literally $1 billion, the first Aquaman movie.
Yeah, and think about the time. What was Aquaman? 2017, 2018? So it was such a better time to drop a superhero movie. At this time, the end of 2023, people have seen it all, bro.
Yeah, so it's just really... You know, Jason Momoa, I don't think he's too worried. He'll probably be black as Lobo in the DCU under James Gunn. So I don't think he's too worried. And then, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the first Aquaman. I know a lot of people, some people like it. I thought it was fucking ass. you know, if you like it, good for you. But I just did not like that first Aquaman movie. I didn't understand how I made $1 billion.
It's really fucking corny. I mean, some parts are just too much. Like, over.
Not even
corny.
In a fun way, for me at least, you know?
Yeah, it was so long. I still am excited to
watch. You might like the second one. He's a father.
Yeah, I'm still excited to watch it because I think it's trying to dig at some of those comic book roots of, you know, Black Manta actually.
Yeah. You know, and he was a kid, you know, Jason Momoa, little dad comedy thing seems fun, I guess. Like, you know, that's kind of one of the, at least in the advertising, it's like one of the main things I've seen. Him and Patrick Wilson, you know, the little duet. But it's funny because I don't even, DC, you know, they didn't even put any money into marketing this thing, I don't think. I haven't really seen a lot of marketing for this Aquaman.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's, this was, they kind of just had to throw it out there. I don't think they wanted. They already got a lot of heat for canceling Batgirl, you know. So I don't think they wanted any more of that smoke.
I think Jason Momoa will carry a little more weight, you know, than the Batgirl cast. So they're like,
I don't know. Michael Keaton was Batman in it. Like he was in fucking Batgirl. Brendan Fraser was the Firefly. Commissioner Gordon was J.K. Simmons. Like what is stacked cast? And they just canceled.
They didn't believe in Batgirl enough. Batgirl herself, the lead. Well, I don't think they believed in her enough.
It was supposed to be a straight to the HBO Max movie, you know. And then they're like, no, it's for the movie theater. But then, if you're making a made for TV movie, it's not going to look good in the theater. Canceling it. And it was just,
yeah,
it's just a whole mess there, you know,
the Batgirl tragedy.
Yeah. But yeah. What could have DC done different? You know, I think if Zack Snyder wasn't in charge of the universe, that would have been good.
Oh my God. Bro,
Him make Man of Steel. That's fine. But then letting him be in charge of the whole universe was a mistake, I think.
Absolutely.
And, you know, on top of that, with the, when it comes to the Zack Snyder thing.
it was an absolute. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm going to stick in my throat. I was going to say that I don't think Zack Snyder really understood a lot of these characters, you know, past his Zack Snyder way. We'll talk about it in Rebel Moon, but Zack Snyder seems like a really nice guy and everything, and great, but it's like his style is very like edgy teenager, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I was talking about 300 with my boy, and I was like, you know, when 300 came out, it was such a big movie culturally. Like, it was
huge.
One of the biggest movies at the time. People were creating Spartan workouts. Mm-hmm. People were quoting the movie. They were making fun of the movie.
It was a graphic novel, too. It was a comic book movie, technically, one of the biggest ones, you know. And Zack Snyder, I think Zack Snyder does very well when it's adapted material. Like, Watchmen was really, really good as well.
Right.
You know?
But when they put him as the person in charge of a comic book universe in competition with something like Marvel,
it's also a little bit on DC because it's confirmed. Yeah, you know, they fast tracked the Batman versus Superman. They didn't want to build up. They just wanted it right away. Batman versus Superman, I think it does too much, right? It introduces Wonder Woman. It has the death of Superman. It has Dark Knight Returns in it. It's like five different storylines, you know, because Zack Snyder's just trying to throw them all at the wall because he's very good at the visual medium of it. And he used basically every comic book as a source of reference, you know, but it oversaturates it. And it's just too much, I think. You know,
way too many comic book storylines. Yeah.
And it's funny because Zack Snyder recently, you know, in an interview, he was like, these movies, they can't just be their own movie anymore. They're always trying to set something up. And it's like, dude, he was trying to set up this universe with the future Joker, like for years, you know what I mean? And it's like, I think he's salty, it didn't work out, but it's like that's literally what he did, right? He was just trying to set up this nightmare future. I still like Zack Snyder, you know, rooting for him. I really wanted to like Rebel Moon and all this stuff, but I think that might have been the big thing that might have screwed over the DCEU.
Oh, absolutely. I think the one thing, it wasn't just so much on Zack Snyder, it was how much they put into him. I mean, they just gave him
how much they gave it to him. Yeah, exactly.
What you said, it was like, you know what, let's give the man one movie and just
but to be the architect of the universe.
You are not that guy. You know what, his style and his filmmaking style is not the type of person who should have led a comic book universe in competition with Marvel.
He could have one-offs and everything, but
exactly.
You know,
should have been, you know, because now, I mean, bro's all over Netflix, you know, he has Army of the Dead, and
which didn't do too well, which was an original Zack Snyder.
Which is an original Zack Snyder, and again,
that was pandemic, though, to be fair. It looks like there was a
pandemic. Spinoff to that, right? There was a spinoff to that, which is the Army of Thieves or something. Mm-hmm,
which is the safecracker from the movie.
Right, so it's like, okay, he's trying to make his own universe in that. Like, he's very much about
It was supposed to have that movie with the safecracker, and there was supposed to be another Army of the Dead a spinoff movie with Batista, and then there was supposed to be an animated series, that's what it got announced with, just like Rebel Moon, right? So do you just want to jump into the Rebel Moon review?
You know what, let me hit the listeners with a quick diversity report, because I only have one topic, and we're gonna hop into the Rebel Moon review. And this is just mostly for our American listeners, but Colorado Supreme Court ruled Donald Trump can run for president, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And it was well, the whole time, you know, what I've been asking him, like, why is this guy even allowed to run? Like, he's literally like in court right now for like starting an insurrection.
Exactly.
And I'm like, why is he even allowed to run? You know what I mean?
And that's what Colorado did. So this is citing a constitutional insurrection clause. The court ruled 4-3 that Mr. Trump was not eligible candidate because he had engaged in an insurrection nearly 3 years ago. I mean, yeah, this was January 6th. I mean, this is fair. This is very fair. But many people said that the decision, some people said, was completely flawed. And but it's the first ever use of Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he should be on a ballot at all.
No, it's crazy that Colorado is the first state to come up and make that decision.
Yeah, they're pretty liberal there. Like, that probably would have been. Well, that's what some people are saying. Yeah. They're like, well, it doesn't matter. It would have been a blue state anyways. We don't need it. And it's like, that's not the point, you know?
It isn't. It's really the message that's being sent. The message that's being sent is that this presidential candidate, while they were president, incited a fucking insurrection. It's not American at all.
During the transition of power.
Bro, get your ass out of here.
That's crazy. You know what I mean?
It's nuts.
They were literally yelling to behead the freaking vice president. And then I don't know how this guy's allowed to run again, you know?
Yep. And you got people who actually, you know, invaded the White House invaded the Capitol. The Capitol, not the White House. They invaded the Capitol, who are being charged, again, hit with fat ass sentences. We're talking 17-year sentences. 10-year sentences.
Yeah, but Trump is over here just flying dandy, able to run for president again.
Exactly. He's already in court for many other things too. You know, Trump is in court for things in New York and Florida. So this was just one of many things that's going to complicate his.
I mean, like, you know, freaking Nixon resigned for less. Bill Clinton got impeached for less, you know.
Come on. And, you know, they're going to, Donald Trump and Republicans are going to fight this. The team has already agreed that they're going to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court on this decision.
Yeah,
he can run for president.
And I'm like, why is the Supreme Court supposed to decide this? That seems like a very biased source, considering who put a lot of input them there.
Exactly, Gerardo. I mean, Trump put some people in there in situations like this. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put some justices in the Supreme Court. Just in the event that I get caught up, I got these people I know are going to vouch for me. So the Colorado justices wrote in their ruling, "We do not reach these conclusions lightly. We are mindful of the magnitude and weight of the questions now before us. We are likewise mindful of our solemn duty to apply the law without fear of favor and without being swayed by public reaction to the decisions that the law mandates we reach."
That's Hell yeah. It.
Come on now. Shit. Don't argue
it's
with
America,
that.
America, baby.
Yeah, I had an interesting talk with a person about Donald Trump being president, and it was a cool conversation, but I was like, nah, bro, just don't make me being a Marine think that I'm going to sign off on that asshole. He absolutely fucking not. So
you don't think he loves the troops?
Bro, that man is dogged.
The guy that made fun of prisoners of war?
Right, I'm like, he is dogged veterans. He ain't got no respect for nobody.
You don't gotta like John McCain, but he was a prisoner of war.
Come on,
and
now.
Trump made fun of him for being a prisoner of war. That's crazy to me. Like that you would think that the, you know, the veteran Republicans would abhor that.
But absolutely. And I'm like, speak up about it, my G, because I don't forget that. I'm like, you haven't even gone out there.
Yeah. I mean, he had bone spurs, supposedly, right? That's why he didn't go to Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. See, you weaseled your way out of that.
He dodged the draft. Yeah. So,
well, that's it. That's a wrap on the diversity report.
Yeah. Beep, beep, beep. Okay. So, next we got this Rebel Moon review, Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon, Part One, A Child on Fire. So, a few things about this movie. There's going to be a Zack Snyder cut of this movie released.
You're kidding me.
No, yeah, it's going to be rated R.
Wow.
That's why there was no blood in this. There was like that sex scene, but like, you know, we couldn't see anything. So there's going to be tits and blood in the Zack Snyder vision. But I'm like, you know, Zack Snyder mentioned how, you know, it's not marketable or whatever to have a, if it's not PG-13. So that's why he gave Netflix that and everything. And it's like, It's streaming, right? Is that the
it's marketable if it's good? If you make
exactly.
it
exactly, Army of the Dead was rated R.
Yeah, and that was marketable, very marketable. Yeah. Zombies are very marketable.
So there will be a Snyder cut of this.
You know what's funny?
Which apparently is a completely different movie.
Snyder cut is like that term. He is create. It's crazy how that term is just like.
It's like
not director's cut anymore. It's like I want the Snyder cut version of this.
Yeah, and it's this crazy Snyder fan base, right? So, yeah. But isn't that crazy that? And I think there should be a black and white version too. There should be like a billion versions of this movie. And also, part two of this movie comes out next month. So, you know, and then I think there's gonna be a Snyder version of that one.
Okay, that's a quick ass turnaround, and this is clearly one of Netflix's big budget movies of recent times.
Well, yeah, well, they signed a contract with him, you know, and then that's why Zack Snyder's on Netflix right now, and they're sure that he can bring in the subscribers, and he does. I mean, we still watch it, but yeah, you know, it's like
we put it on when I put this movie on. I was like, this is not anything I haven't seen before.
Yeah, so a few things about this movie. A lot of similarities to Star Wars. We get the cantina scene, we get the Han Solo character, we get the lightsabers, we get everything. So, but he doesn't want to be compared to Star Wars, but I'm like, it's all there, right? Well, the story is literally just Star Wars.
Yeah, the scene when they're, it might be the cantina scene you're talking about. Yeah, but the scene literally. It's like the bar or something when they're...
Yeah.
I'm like, this feels like it's straight out of fucking Star Wars.
Well,
I'm
in
like,
A New Hope, you know, there's that part where the Luke shows up and the guy's like, I don't like you. It's like, my friend doesn't like you either. They had literally that, except with like a girl being sexually
absolutely.
Harassed, you know?
And there, so, there were sexual scenes in this that were... I don't know, that were you said as an R-rated version, so I'm sure they may go deeper.
Oh, the thing with the tentacles?
Yeah, oh yeah, the thing with the tentacles, the thing with the troops where they, you know, had
that, they're gonna do something, but then they get slow motion killed. So the slow motion a lot, right? I think this movie, if it had less slow motion, it'd be like, we could cut it down like by 15 minutes.
It'll make it's not as effective when you throw it in so much. And some of these scenes, I mean, I hate to just wrap this movie up, but it's really just, okay, we have this threat. Let's go recruit, get a team to face the threat. That's really what it was. And some of the scenes.
This shit could have happened 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 20 minutes. You could have had it done.
Bro, do that
a lot of it's just recruiting.
Do that shit in 10 minutes to get it out of the way. What I would have loved? You know, kind of like an Ocean's 11 type thing where the recruiting takes place in like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and then they get
Exactly. Like, make it snappy, make it charismatic. It just felt like,
bro, it was dragged out.
Video game where they do something and then there's like a big section where they're just talking and loading screens and shit. And then, there's a little bit of action. And not that the action was even that good. That one part where the spider lady grabs the witch lady and she just lets her stab her through the chest. Like, she just holds her up, and before she kills her, she gets stabbed in the chest because she didn't hold on to her arms or take her weapons away. It's just a bunch of stuff that didn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
That was a cool fight up until then. I'm like, how did that happen? I mean, if I was that spider, I would have just,
She literally just picks her up like, oh, please stab me through the chest, you know?
Come here. Come here. Look me in the eye.
Yeah, exactly. It's just...
But those scenes themselves, they were dragged out and they felt like they weren't really pushing the story forward. So when they're going, when the lead, this, who she's a prior...
In Tom Cruise's The Mummy. It's that lady. She's in Tom Cruise's The Mummy. She's the mummy.
She's the mummy.
Yeah, she's also in Kingsman. She has the legs, the prosthetic legs in that. She's called Gazelle or something because she jumps with those legs.
Oh my, she sure is. Wow, I thought she looked familiar. Okay.
Yeah. So she's like, those are pretty actiony, you know. So she's done.
It makes sense for her to be the lead of this type of action sci-fi.
Everyone just felt like just such a generic character, you know. It's like, oh, I used to work for the Nazis, and It was just funny seeing the fake Cillian Murphy wearing the tie. He's just wearing a tie, a shirt and tie. Everyone else is everyone else is dressed in all the space. He's just wearing a suit and tie.
Oh, he looks like a straight Nazi. I mean, it's
it's okay, Zack Snyder. We get it. We know what you're going for. It felt like Inglourious Basterds, right? When they go to the farming planet on the beginning and everything. That was like totally Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, the look was very much telling of just Nazis, and I was like, okay, I get that, but. Like you said, it was the characters themselves. If this felt more like a character-driven film, maybe it would have made us feel more attached to these people. You hardly even feel connected to the lead.
I forget about these characters. I have to think really hard because I forget Ray Fisher's in this movie.
When?
Because he's the guy. Because literally, like this. See, people, this is what happens when you try to introduce 7 characters, and each one of them get. Like 5 minutes, but they're not memorable. We get Tarzan, we got Ray Fisher, we got the witch lady, the Asian witch lady, yeah. We got Han Solo, Charlie Hunnam, yep. We got the main girl, and then I can't even think of the other two, but I know they're there. I know that there's 2 other characters, but I
there's the farmer, right? There's like a farmer.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, the farmer,
and.
There's one more.
Digimon, the boy.
Oh, Digimon. See what I mean? See, I just named all, good. We just named all 7 characters. And it's just hard to remember them, you know?
And recruiting them took up so much time, you would think that we would know more about the characters, that they would
but tell it'd be us like, more
about them. But it's just it's a dragged out scene. Like you mentioned Tarzan. You're talking about the dude who jumped on that bird creature. Is that who you're talking
about? Yeah, the Avatar section of the movie.
Bro, that whole scene was dragged out. I'm like, recruit his ass and get, because even then, I don't care about this, him mounting this animal and shit. And
you didn't think it was beautiful and the way they had a the connection.
And then the animal ends up killing the white dude. And I'm like, what?
The slave owner or whatever.
Right. And I get it.
Yeah. So, it's just
you don't feel connected enough to these characters to care about the consequences of what may happen to them.
And yeah. And surprise, at the very end, the guy that says I'm a thief and a scoundrel and you shouldn't trust me betrays everyone for money.
Hey, yeah, Charlie,
of course he would. Yeah.
Sense of Anarchy.
Yeah. Irish in this movie.
Yeah, he's Irish.
But, you know, just come on. It was just. Everyone has to have like a third grade comprehension of anything in this movie. Like this, everything is so. I was laughing during her little flashback sequence. Like, I could not love because I feared to, and it's like just wearing their hearts on their sleeves, just saying what they're feeling out loud, and it's just too much, you know. Yeah. Well, from the main girl at least, everyone else is just such a fucking dry character that like. It's like, oh, this guy's legendary, but we don't get time to connect with any of them.
Absolutely. You're talking about this general. It's like, oh, man, his name speaks for itself. You know,
it's supposed to be an ensemble piece, but it takes the whole movie to build up the ensemble, you know?
Exactly. And we still don't feel connected to them. After all this time you take, we still hardly feel connected to this ensemble. The person we feel most connected with is the lead, the woman, and maybe the farmer. But it's like, even him, I'm just like, I don't really, the farmer, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I didn't like him a lot either. Because at the beginning.
I don't know about his decision making. And
yeah. So, you know, even like, look at the Suicide Squad, the James Gunn one. There's a billion characters in that. But they're all pretty distinct, and you get to spend time with them because they're introduced right away. And then you actually feel connected to them. And when some of them die, it's really sad. You know, like there's the polka dot guy, there's the rat controlling lady, there's the king shark. You know, we got all this stuff going on. And I see they're just each so memorable and great. And this movie didn't have that, you know?
Exactly. You know, when you mentioned Ray Fisher, it's like, holy shit, how come more people didn't know that was just, I had no fucking idea. And his character wasn't too compelling.
Yeah, you know, he has control of like all this like rebel army, and then they all basically get wiped right away. That the ending felt so weird. I was like, wait a minute, everything they did just doesn't matter now. And then they crashed the ship from the that they've been. It all happens in the span of what, like 20 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, and the way that what's the boy's name?
Digimon,
my African brother, Digimon.
Yeah,
he says he's like, you know, he pretty much tries to sum it up. He says, This hurt the motherland because it sent them a message. How does it hurt them though? I'm like, in what way, really? Yeah. Like, how is this affecting them?
We got Anthony Hopkins as a robot, a pacifist robot, because the king is dead or something, and
right.
And so he just fucks off that. for the beginning of the movie. And he would have been a cool character to have on the ship. That's a, you know, but he'll probably be in the second one because he's at the very end of this one.
And so the king is slain. So it's like, okay, they reference the slain king. But we have this, we have the lead, that girl, like this father figure who is not our actual dad, but just kind of took her, was a general and took her.
Thanos.
And trained her. Exactly.
She's like Gamora.
Character. She's Gamora. And so
she's literally Gamora.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you think about. It's like, so this is this guy who overtook this, who took over this planet.
And he's the king now.
Who sees, yeah, so he's the king now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's, yeah. Okay, that's...
So that's why she's connected to this whole thing, because he's the king. So
is he the slain king?
No. He's the new king after the slain one.
Got it.
Yeah, so, you know...
Is he in, like, a different realm or some shit?
He's you know, it's a big universe. I think he's on the mother planet or whatever the fuck they call it, you know, Jesus. So... you know, it's just... we'll see, you know, the second half. Apparently the Snyder Cut is a separate movie, so if it's worth it, we'll talk about that. But overall, any closing thoughts on Rebel Moon?
You know, for a movie that was trying really, that made an effort to distinguish itself from Star Wars, it felt very much like an episode of Mandalorian or some shit.
Yeah,
you
without know, that, any, I'm not saying it has to have quips or anything, but like, there's just like no humor in this. Like, not that there has to be like, but it was just like,
And I respect the attempt at world building. It really tried to build this world for us with different types of people and characters and species of people, and I respect the effort there. I saw that. I just didn't feel too connected to any of them.
Show don't tell, but they tell more than they show, which is funny for Zack Snyder.
Exactly. that's a great way of describing it,
you know. Yeah, so Out of 5 Rebel Moons, what do you give this?
Oh man, I'm gonna slide this one a quick little 2.5 Rebel Moons. Yeah,
I'm gonna give it 2 Rebel Moons. Yeah, it's not the best. Well, I guess we got to see the second half. Maybe the Snyder Cut will amend this. But as of right now, maybe the black and white cut, because there's gonna be a black and white version. Maybe the black and white version will, you know, hit better. I don't know.
You know, this wasn't one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It's just, I fell asleep the first time. Yeah, but I've seen shit just like this. This was nothing out of the ordinary. It looked very expensive and it wasn't worth it.
yeah, exactly. I fell asleep the first time I tried to watch it, so.
Come on now.
It's not the best. Okay. Moving on, for the end of the year here, we're going to be talking about a few of the biggest movies of the year that came out. Yes. And then we'll give our favorite, like top 3 favorite, whatever movies. So a few movies that came out this year. I did not watch Past Lives, but shout out to the Dive-In Boys. They like that movie a lot.
Yes, it's an A24 movie. I hear it's really good. I just have not watched it yet, and that's on my list. That's on the list.
Exactly. We got Mission Impossible, which I did not get to watch either because Barbenheimer was around that time, and that would have been a lot of money.
I watched Dead Reckoning Part 1. I did watch Dead Reckoning. It was pretty cool.
Any thoughts?
You know, apart from the other Part 1s, this didn't feel...
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, compared to... So we have Fast X Part 1 and Across the Spider-Verse, which is a Part 1 movie. So
both of which, Hidard, though, very much feel like a Part 1 in comparison to Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. Those two movies, Fast X Part 1 and Across the Spider-Verse, feel like a Part 1.
Yeah, Rebel Moon as well, I would say.
Yes.
Okay. So Mission Impossible kind of stands on its own a little bit more.
Absolutely. I enjoy Mission Impossible movies. And yeah, this one has some story to it. It was cool.
Okay, let's talk about Across the Spider-Verse. So that was a lot of people really, really like that movie, but I can't put it on my top movies just because it's not a whole movie. And, you know, just because it's a part one doesn't mean you don't make it its own movie, because now we're seeing the consequences of that, because the whole strike happened. Then they were, you know, we found out they were pushing their animators, working them too much in the overtime department. So now we're not going to get this movie until maybe like next year, which is, it was supposed to come out 1 year after. Now it might not be maybe 2 or 3 years after. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, what you want from a part two, because it's labeled part one, is you want a quicker turnaround. Yeah. And, you know, for Across the Spider-Verse, like you said, podcasts, other podcasts, moviegoers, they fucking loved this movie.
Yeah.
This movie was not nearly, it didn't make me feel the same way as the first one did. I loved the first one.
The first one was a pleasant surprise.
It was a pleasant surprise. So I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought it was going to tank. So yeah. I enjoyed the first one thoroughly. This one didn't do much different for me. I was like, you know,
This one didn't have a lot of character, I don't think so, compared to the first one. This one,
I felt like it had as much heart. For me, it didn't.
No, yeah, me too. A lot of it wasn't just, I don't know. But yeah, that's why I have a hard time putting that one on my top. But let's look at Fast X Part 1. He has superpowers now, huh? Dominic Toretto. Yeah. Jason Momoa playing an over-the-top hammy villain. He's having fun. What do you think about Fast X?
Yeah, Fast X was something. I mean, we're talking about Jason Momoa. He was an eccentric-ass bad guy. And sometimes it was a little too much. But one thing he did do with this role is he looked like he had fun. Probably more fun than anyone else on set. It looked like he had more fun than anyone else, really. Maybe because he's new and fresh to the franchise. They threw in Brie Larson.
She was having fun a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she did. You know, I'm like, you know, her presence in this kind of a franchise doesn't surprise me. But again, you know, the ending as well just makes you feel like very much like a part one. And enjoyed this movie because it tried to get back to some of the classic Fast and Furious shit. They did street races and they try to do just
until they get into the shit where they're blowing up a dam. And
exactly, you know what I mean? So,
all right, cool. Yeah. So, Talk to Me, that was a really good movie. I don't know if you got to. Oh, I guess that came out January, I think. That was a pretty good horror movie.
I didn't catch that one. You did, though.
Yeah, really good. Recommend to anyone if they want a good horror movie. Barbie, great.
The one and only. I have seen it more than once this year.
Oh, yeah, you have a daughter. So you know, does she like it?
Oh, yeah, she loves it. She loves it. And, you know, there are some parts that may go over her head, and they talk about patriarchy and... Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the hype died down, everyone agreed that the little feminism part was, it's a little feminism 101, like the classroom, definitely, you know, the mom speech. No, it's not the worst. It's good. It's a good message for people who've never heard it, I guess.
Exactly. Woman directed, woman written, and it, you know, it was great for the great win for the ladies and the,
Ken.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a great win for Barbie fans everywhere. It was huge, this movie.
And it was good. And it was good.
Yeah. Pink was everywhere at the movie theater that weekend.
Well, I was going to say, this is like, this felt like one of the old movie going experiences, you know, where people used to kind of dress up a little bit more and it was a big communal thing, you know. We saw a lot of like girls, women, everyone just going in pink, and even some guys and everything. So it was great to see. You know, I remember the Avengers premiere when I was in high school, and everyone dressed up with their comic book shirts and stuff, favorite superheroes, everything. It was this big thing. Some people dressed up like in costumes and everything. Now, you know, we don't get that as much. So it was cool to see an event, and it wasn't just on opening night, right? It was a whole thing.
Gerardo, honestly, it felt like it lasted like
a good month.
At least the first month. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it was great. And Oppenheimer, on the other end of that, was really good. You know, the more time you stew with it, the better it gets, I think.
This was one of my, if we're talking about, you know, top movies of the year, This was one of my top movie experiences of the year.
I gotta say, yeah, it was, because the more I, you know, think about this movie, it was, you know, it was a really good movie.
Oh, it was a really good movie. It is a really good movie. And
yeah.
I may never watch Oppenheimer again. Truly, I may not, but if I do, I do. But watching this movie in the theater, I watched this on the opening of Barbenheimer. So when Barbenheimer dropped, mm-hmm. I went and watched Oppenheimer first, and then I got to Barbie a few weeks later. This movie, it was so dope watching in the movie theater. This was probably my favorite movie experience of the year.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan really does know how to make a world that you sit in, you know, when you're in the movie theater compared to when you're at home. It really feels like you're living in this era for the amount of time that the movie runs, you know?
Exceptional. So well,
yeah. Oppenheimer, great, of course. Let me see here. Any other movies? Blue Beetle. I thought was great. We got a win in the Latino community on that one. I think Blue Beetle was great. I mean, it's a standard comic book movie, just with some culture thrown in there.
Yes. I really love Blue Beetle. I love the music. I love the characters. And, you know, we're talking about how Aquaman didn't do well. This movie did well for the reasons it had heart. And the it was really dope. I really love Blue Beetle.
What you need is like, you know, it's like if I ever have kids and I have to show them a generic comic book movie, I'm going to show them Blue Beetle over like Iron Man or something, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because I am Mexican. You know? Yes. And that's what people don't understand. If you're gonna put on a more generic comic book movie, you might put on a Black Panther. Right. Or, you know, Shang-Chi.
What makes sense,
you got a diverse household.
Come on now, what house are we talking about? Yeah, I got
John and his diverse ass household over there.
We got Black, Hawaiian, Filipino, so we in the building. But yeah, I love Blue Beetle, and it's honestly a household favorite. Me and my daughter, we fucking love Blue Beetle.
Yeah, because it has heart. It's about family, like in a universal way, not just like a we're just gonna talk about family because it's what we do in movies. It was like, it was tied to the culture specifically, I think.
Absolutely, exactly.
You know,
there were a few Netflix movies that I want to just give honorable mention to. I want to see if you've watched any of them. Did you watch May December this year with Natalie Portman and Julianne?
No.
So it's about the real life story of this teacher who married her student.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. Go ahead and check it out. But especially when you look at the case that happened in real life and they show the afterwards, they show an interview with the so it's pretty cool, pretty interesting little Netflix movie. And
I wanted to mention Leave the World Behind.
Oh, thank you. We spoke offline about this, bro. Leave the World Behind with Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke.
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, the boy.
Yeah, so as a movie concept, it's a great concept, similar to Knock at the Cabin Door. Mm. And I thought that there were some really strong performances from like Julianne Moore and Ethan Hawke, Julia Roberts,
yeah.
Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke. They both had great performances. Mahershala Ali, his daughter, their performances, I don't think were as strong, honestly.
And I think it just has something to do with their choices, bro. You know, Julia Roberts, you knew who her character was in and out. She never strayed. She stayed true. She was a very hard character. Even in her moments where she was soft and vulnerable, you knew why. She was, you know, it was just a moment. But,
you know, Mahershala Ali, I feel like you wanted to maybe play it a little bit mysteriously, you know, like, this character can go either way. But it just came off as, like, just off-putting, you know?
Yeah, it's like you were hiding. It was, and the shit that he was hiding wasn't even compelling enough. I'm like, bro, you don't even know enough to be acting all shady. I'm like, I thought you might be in on what the fuck is actually going on. Here you are just keeping information. I didn't have any choices.
Yeah, that movie was all right. Not the worst. It's, you know, if you just want to throw something on, make some popcorn, it's all right.
Right, exactly.
The Killer?
Oh, with
the Killer
Fassbender.
Another Netflix movie.
That one was cool. It was just
that one was really good. And that one's based off of a book, I believe, and I think it's David Fincher.
That doesn't surprise me. It's based off the book because it kind of has the pacing. Because
so was Gone Girl.
Okay,
so same director. Yeah.
Oh, oh yeah. Oh man, and it was just a surprise for me. A little surprise hit.
Yeah, yeah, and well, I think The Killer was original, actually. It just feels like a book. I forgot which one it is. I don't know. I don't have any research this one. But The Killer was really, really good. I think that was maybe, as far as Netflix movies go, I think that might have been the best one for me, at least.
Yeah, because I tried watching this movie with Bradley Cooper, Maestro.
Oh, yeah. The bisexual Jewish conductor movie, Oscar bait movie.
Oscar bait, but man, that shit was kind of boring.
yeah it doesn't, that's his Oscar bait ass movie, you know. I don't know if
my god is that shit, just, you know, the dialogue is so,
it's a slog, huh?
Yeah, it's just very talky. It's like there's never a moment where, I don't know, it's just the way the characters interact. It's like, man, I don't know, mm-hmm. people just bounce off each other like that. It feels like really great actors performing lines, mm-hmm. as opposed to just
And I forgot to mention Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah.
Great movie. Love that one.
Yeah. Some of these Disney movies we may forget because they come to streaming so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. James Gunn's is sent off from the Marvel Universe. A lot of these characters send off, so we're not going to see a lot of them again.
Isn't that what was most sad? That's why I cry, Gerardo. I mean, these are characters that we fell in love with.
For 10 years.
In an era we're never going to have back. That the beloved comic book era has... You know, we still gonna get these movies, but the peak of it has come and gone.
Yeah, and these characters. Well, I mean, you know, I think with James Gunn's universe, it's gonna, you know, everyone always says the comic book movies are dying or whatever, but then Guardians of the Galaxy makes like a fucking millions of dollars, and then the next Batman movie's gonna make millions of dollars because Matt Reeves is fucking great, you know. So I think it has more to do with quality than like. And the fatigue, because it's like, that'd be like saying there's a action movie fatigue or horror movie fatigue or whatever. It's like, it really just depends on the quality, you know what I mean? It's a genre of movies now. It's not just like when people say superhero movies or Marvel movies, it's like we're talking about like 50 movies, 60 movies at this point. We're not talking about like 10 movies, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's fair to say that superhero movies is very much, you know, it's a genre of movies. And because of that, just the quality, like you said, hasn't been hitting lately. I think in the peak of Marvel, the quality was very well done. But right now, and even in the future, people just don't have the same faith in James Gunn and DC as they did in Marvel. And I mean, we do. We believe in James Gunn, but casual.
I don't know. I know a lot of people are excited for the Superman movie. That don't really.
A lot of my people don't watch movies. They don't give a shit about the upcoming DC. They do not care, and it kind of hurts me. I'm like, damn, man. Like this
what's really good. What's their age range?
Around my age, around 30 years old.
You see, upcoming DC stuff. You see all the people in their 20s. That's the demographic. They're all really, really hyped for it. And they're not even comic book movie people, but
I'm excited for a change. Because, like you said, bro, we're, you know, a big part of our
podcast. It's also a generational thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, a big part of our podcast is comic book movies, and we're just hyped that we get so much, so we're never gonna get tired of it. And, right now, it's having just kind of a lull, but it's gonna always be. It's a new genre, baby, so it's not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, look, like next year we got the new Joker movie coming out. We're gonna have the new Batman movie coming out. We're gonna have the Superman movie coming out. You're telling me Superman isn't marketable to a mainstream audience? Isn't the Superman symbol like the third most known symbol in the world, besides like the fucking cross and like Mickey Mouse?
Come on.
Like, I don't know. I think
I can't wait for that shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That like, I think you might be underselling Superman here, like as a cultural icon. You know, because
it's the universe as a whole. I just don't think people are as excited for the entire universe. I think people were more excited about a Superman movie, but for this extended, whatever it's going to be, this extended, I don't even know what it's going to be called. Extended
Well, DC. Like, I mean, the Joker, right? The new Joker with Lady Gaga in it. there's people that don't like, I'm not even keeping up with it, but I know people that don't know anything about comic book movies that are excited for that one.
Yes.
Same with the Robert Pattinson Batman. That one's probably going to make $1 billion, the next one, because I'm telling you, the people in their 20s right now, the power of memes can't be underestimated. You know what I mean with the new generation? Because I don't know if you know, but right now, like Robert Pattinson Batman is a fucking icon right now.
And
with the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, like the young people, really like, you know,
and that's what's great, because the people who are, you know, kind of my age and a little bit older who are voiced,
they're just gonna hate everything anyways, whether it's comic book movies or whether they were living in the 80s and it was action movies. It's just
you don't like the Robert Pattinson Batman? I'm like, I thought it was cool. And they're like, no, I don't like that one. I'm like,
some people just age out of shit.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, like Dark Knight, you'll like this one. I'm like, you know, it's, I know they're different. I know they're different entirely. But
well, those are the people that, you know, when the Dark Knight came out, their parents were saying, this isn't the Michael Keaton one. And now they're the ones saying, this isn't the Christian Bale one. You know?
You're losing out if you don't like more than one Batman.
Yeah, I like exactly.
I like him for different reasons. You're going to have your favorite, but you should like him for different reasons.
Exactly. But yeah, I would say the whole 20s demographic right now, they're all pretty on board for the DC one.
That's encouraging, because I'm not getting the same people my age. And I'm
like, I know our algorithms are different. on the social medias, you know what I mean.
I cannot wait for this shit. I believe in James Gunn, but others are like, if it's not Marvel, I'm like, bro, come on. This Superman movie is gonna change the game. I think he's gonna change the game. Like that kind of superhero,
rebooting.
Yeah, so it's
exactly.
But is that it for 2023? What other movies we got for this year?
I was just gonna ask you, what are your top three? All right. Oh, but before we do that, Little Mermaid. Did you watch that one? Little Mermaid remake?
I've watched Little Mermaid a few times.
Completely unnecessary.
Oh, man.
I hope all of the live action movies fail, because I watched it. It's fine. It's not bad. But just like, don't make them. Like,
no.
You know, make new shit.
Make new things. That way they can be the new classics. Because what we're doing, we're taking these very talented actors and cast and singers, and we're throwing them into these reboots. And
yeah, and it's the thing work. is like, they feel soulless. It's not even that they're bad. It just feels like they just feel like very corporate. And like,
oh my god,
and the kids could see through that too. You know, I feel like the kids know when something has heart to it, compared to when something is just boring, like all corporate shit.
My daughter loves the Little Mermaid songs, but yeah, you just. Those characters you don't feel as connected to either. I've been saying that a lot, but it's because you don't. You know, when you watch the actual Little Mermaid with Ariel and, you know, the older one.
The animated one?
Yeah, the animated one. It's like, okay, cool. But this one is just another.
There's a lot of character. Everyone has a lot of character in that one, because it's animated. So everyone, it's going to have a lot of character. But this one was like, every character was just a person.
There was actions. No. I can't stand them anymore, bro.
It's just not making them. They're all fucking mid, you know.
They are all mid. They are not one has been really good.
And this, I think, this one was one of the more obvious little Disney like ways to try to make money or stir up controversy. I hate to say it, you know, but this one felt kind of obvious, right?
Oh, it did.
That Disney wanted to kind of stir up the waters. No pun intended. Yeah. They want, I don't know. Did it feel like that to you? Because the movie was just a movie, but
yeah, exactly.
I feel like everything around it, it was like, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it just, right. It just felt very, yeah.
Because casting the girl Chloe as Ariel, I think, is great for, you know, for black people and young black women to see that. But because of how unnecessary the movie is itself, I think doing that was a way to kind of be like, you know what, let's stand out in a way. Let's cast something.
Yeah, yeah.
Expecting, you know, because this is going to be exactly, but this is going to be a cookie cutter live action. It's going to be straight up from the animated.
But worse.
Yeah. So, you know, what can we do to make it better, to make it more of the times, you know?
You okay, add Awkwafina rapping.
You add Awkwafina rapping because right now, if you're a black actor, it's, you know, it's a great time, especially if you are
prime time, unless you're Jonathan Majors.
Come on now, which we kind of skipped over. We didn't talk too much about it, but yeah,
bro, he had it in the bag. Well, we'll talk about him right now in a little bit on our TV shows, top TV shows, but
So
top three movies. It could be Netflix, cinema, whatever.
I got mine.
Yeah, no particular order. Go ahead.
Oppenheimer, Blue Beetle, and Oppenheimer, Blue Beetle. Fuck me. What is the? I'm gonna say Guardians 3.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta go with Guardians 3, Oppenheimer. Fuck. Very similar, huh? Round it out with Blue Beetle, fuck it.
Come on now, easy.
Whatever, top three there. All right, cool, let me see. So for top TV shows, this year there's a lot of TV shows. We had Invincible, had Gen V, we had... what's the other one? We had a few live actions. We had the One Piece live action. We had the Last of Us on HBO. That was a really, really big one. Yeah. You got to get to watching that.
Oh, man. I'm sleeping.
If you're not going to play the game, if you don't got the 15 hours to play the game, you spend the 8 hours doing the show. A good show. It's a good show though. It's really, really good. It got a lot of accolades, you know. They're gonna be filming the next season pretty soon here. Part two is really good.
I mean, Pedro Pascal blew up even more if it were possible for him.
Exactly. But the show is great. I gotta say, probably one of my top shows of the year there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Invincible, great adaption. We're only halfway in. What we got? I think early next. I think that the part two might come out around the time they do the price hike for ad free Amazon Prime.
Okay,
that's what I would expect. So like mid January. But as far as the first half goes, it was great. And then Gen V was really good. Those might be my top three right there.
Oh, those Invincible, are good
Gen V, and The Last of Us.
Oh yeah, those are really good ones. And
Loki was really good too.
Yeah, Loki was good. Loki was one of my favorite ones. Was it one of my top three? I don't know. I really don't know if it was one of my top three of the year. But I wish I would have watched Bear, because a lot of people, you know, enjoy Bear, but I still haven't watched that.
Oh, the Iron Claw. So instead of so for my top movies, instead of Blue Beetle, put the Iron Claw right there.
Oh, so, dude, I forgot to mention. I'm so glad you brought up Iron Claw. I forgot to mention the creator with.
Yes.
I did not expect shit from this movie. Truly, I did not look like anything was going to interest me. That movie was a pleasant surprise for me.
Yeah, so, I really want to watch it.
Yeah,
That movie. It's the same guy that did the 2014 Godzilla.
No shit.
And
I just watched that movie.
Yeah,
today.
And Rogue One.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 2014 Godzilla was his first big movie. Like, he did some indie movies before that, but like it's like big one was Godzilla 2014.
Okay. Well, fuck me. I gotta get off that.
He's really good at scale. That's why I want to watch The Creator.
Yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah, I recommend The Creator.
So is that on your top three? So I got to say, my top three movies is definitely Oppenheimer, Guardians 3, and The Iron Claw.
Okay. Then it's Oppenheimer, Guardians or Blue Beetle? Guardians. Guardians 3, Oppenheimer, and I might have to say Creator. I really enjoy The Creator. It was
hell yeah.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. TV shows is going to be more difficult for me. Yeah. I know Invincible is going to be up there. That's one of my top shows, Invincible. Shit, I don't watch Succession. Oh, I didn't watch it either. I haven't gotten around to Beef. I heard it's a really good show, Beef.
Off the Netflix one. Yeah.
Yeah, the Netflix one. But I like Gen V so far, and I'm kind of biased. You know, I think I'll just throw that up as one of my favorites because I really like it so far. But I still have to finish it. So I got Invincible, Gen V, and what's my other favorite show? You know what? I'm going to have to go into reality TV, and I'm going to have to say...
oh, my gosh.
I know. It was Dancing with the Stars 2023.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah, again, you know, Sochi Gomez from Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, the girl mm-hmm. won this year. So, yeah, really enjoyed Dancing with the Stars kick this year. One of our reality shows, our favorite reality TV show, Celebrity, she was on there too. That's the reason why we watched it. And then I was like, oh shit, there's a few other celebrities I like. So it's cool watching celebrities who can dance and can't dance. It's really funny to see.
Nice. Okay. Well, that about wraps up the year then, huh?
That's it. That's 2023 wrapped.
All right. Well, come on, be sure to follow us on all our social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter/X, at Cast of Color, to be updated on everything. And we got big things coming. 2024. Stay tuned. Oh,
it's going to be a great year, 2024. So thank you for listening. Yeah, we signing off.
Stay safe. Peace.
Peace. Oh, I bet you.
Cast a color.